I'd like to commend Mr. Sutton for his courage to try to pop up some kind of a proposition that's so unscriptural. In fact, I hate to do what I'm going to do right now when the denominational shanty he has constructed looks so good to him and his brethren. And you've just heard a 30-minute talk from my opponent, and I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit and take the peace. In fact, Mr. Sutton, I think these people are tired of the foolishness he propounded upon them tonight. I think you ought to walk over here right now on my time and tell this crowd and me what spirit was that in both Ephesians and Acts 19 that made them speak with tongues. Would you do it? If you knew that, I'll give you my time to do it. And you talk about a hot seat. You're holding on to yours, but it's hot. I'm glad I'm not in your position. I'd like to thank my father, who is my moderator tonight, Elder Cadmus, my timekeeper, and all the apostolic people from various organizations are backing our discussion here Thursday night and also this coming Friday night. And also, my wonderful church congregation down at Calvary Tabernacle in Corpus Christi. We're fasting and praying for these very meetings that many of you will see and hear the truth. Many of you for the first time. They have done this for 24 years in my work. I've been pastor there that long, and they've been a gracious congregation. The Dallas Report of the Church of Christ, preacher and his congregation speaking in tongues, upset my friend. Let me tell you, I don't believe all that I read in any newspaper anywhere in the world. But I'll tell you one thing, enough ministers I know have checked this out, and if it is that important to you, why don't you go to Dallas and talk to this man and look at the Park Grove Church of Christ and see if they're not talking in tongues. And I don't blame you for disowning them, because they're a tongue-talking crowd right now. Let me tell you, the weakest, clumsiest thing so far in this entire discussion, ladies and gentlemen, has been this. I ask this man to come out here and sincerely tell you when he received the Spirit, where he received it, who he received, and why. And I cannot even begin to imagine the disappointment I shared with this entire congregation of the flimsy answer he gave us. You know what he said? When? He said, when I obeyed the gospel. I didn't tell you that. What time was it? What day? You know, this bunch of Pentecostals is a little different, mister. We can tell you the time, we can take you to the place. We don't have to guess at it. He says, he dodged it. When I obeyed the gospel, where was it? He said, in Alabama or someplace. That must not have mattered too much, Mr. Sutton, if it was someplace in Alabama. Bless God, I can tell you where I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everybody here who's received it can. He could tell you where he believes he received the Spirit when he went down in water. Was that in Alabama, Mr. Sutton? Was that in Alabama? Georgia? Where was that? You know what I mean by that question. Where did you receive the Spirit? Where? Was it in the water? Did you get the Spirit down in the water? Going down in and coming back up. When was it? He keeps talking about his being in trouble. And he's having such a nice, easy time with me, you know. Anybody listening to this debate knows that this man's got everything all mixed up. He doesn't even know what he believes. He can't even quote his own verses. He can't even read his own life. Then he says, who did he receive? He said, well, I received the Holy Spirit. Who is that? You don't even know where the Holy Spirit is. Why, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I brought out in John 14 that Jesus said the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him and have seen him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. Yes. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. Yes. And you tell me that you got the Holy Spirit without Jesus Christ? How many spirits do you have? Spirit of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost? You have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three of them? Ah, you got lots of spirits jumping around in you. Who did you receive? And why did you receive the Holy Ghost, Mr. Sutton? Oh, not because I needed it, because it was a promise to me. Well, so was it a promise to everybody down baptized in Matthew 3:11. The only thing is, they went on to obey and believe and receive and you didn't. You stopped at the water, and you didn't go on to the Spirit. Then he said there's no such thing as unknown in the Scripture. You know, it's a strange thing about this man. He's really a marvel to me. I'm enjoying so much studying his brain. He's quite a different thinking person. You know, I quoted the verse to the man where it says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, for no man understandeth him." Is that unknown? Mr. Sutton, if a man doesn't understand what another would say, no man can understand. Is it a tongue then that's not known? Is that an unknown tongue if nobody can understand it? Oh, now who's going to have one? Well, he knows the Bible says no man understandeth him, so that means unknown tongue. He knows that. Only the apostles, the 12 apostles, received the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says, because Jesus gathered with them and said, "You go on to Jerusalem and you'll see 12 apostles." But this man flagrantly, willfully, with unmitigated gall, he comes back. And you're going to have to give me credit for coining that one in this discussion, Mrs. Sutton. Now, we're good friends. You know, he says only the 12 apostles had the promise, but he's forgetting Luke 24:33. All you Church of Christ people, turn there and read that in your Bible. It talks about those apostles and them that were with them. Don't tell me Jesus promised the Holy Ghost. That just 12 apostles and them that were with them. I'll tell you, Mary, the mother of Jesus was with them, and if she needed the baptism of all her, they were with them. I think you need the baptism of all her. Why don't you try preaching like this? Oh, you'd be ashamed, wouldn't you? Anybody ashamed of where he was converted? The place where he was converted? Anybody that's ashamed of when he received the Spirit? He's ashamed of where he received it? Says somewhere in Alabama? Someplace in Alabama? Who he received and why he received it? He received it because it was a promise. He didn't know who he received. He said the Holy Spirit, but he didn't identify him as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where? He said somewhere in Alabama. That's a classic. I'll tell you that. Somewhere in Alabama. That reminds me of another preacher that said, "We'll get on this Thursday night." I said, "What do you say when you baptize?" I said, "Anything to come to my mind." Oh, I wouldn't trust you to baptize me. When? And he said, "I was seeing." I tell you, this is something. All right. Then he said, "Where is tongues the evidence of the Spirit baptism?" Mr. Hicks, come up here and tell us, where is tongues the evidence of Spirit baptism? For two nights now, I take you to Acts 10:44-48, where Peter brought those six Jews down with him, and when the household of Cornelius received Holy Spirit baptism, the right gift that fell on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said they knew they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. Now you ask for the verse, where is the verse that says tongues tend to the baptism of the Holy Ghost? There it is. It's the same thing they received at Pentecost, and you just got through saying that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, there's your tongue evidence. I'm going to stop right now. I'm going to give you another minute to squirm. 60 seconds on the clock. Come up here. I want you to tell us in Acts 19 what made those folks talk in tongues. They had the gift of the Holy Ghost like you and your Church of Christ people had. Why did they speak in tongues? Have any of you Church of Christ people spoken in tongues? Would you raise your hand? Any godly member of the so-called Church of Christ here, this crowd this man runs with you, have you spoken in tongues? You haven't? Are you afraid to? Why didn't you? Acts 19, they did. They received the Spirit like he says he had. That's right. That's fine with me. Sit down. I'm talking to Mr. Sutton. You're interrupting. Call him. Yeah, point of order.
Hold his time.
This is Church Christ people doing this. Not Pentecostals now. I want you folks to know that on the tape.
I recognize Mr. Hicks asking about in the audience. He didn't really mean to stand up, man.
I want you to sit down. I'm debating Mr. Sutton.
Now sit down. He really didn't mean to stand up. Go ahead, ask somebody.
I didn't ask you to speak in a language you learned in school. Yeah, starting time. Take first class smart like you then. Don't go to stand up in the audience.
sense to speak that in a language you learned in school.
That's not the kind of songs I'm talking about. You know, you got sense enough to know that. All right.
Will you come and do it? Let's bring somebody back there with you. Besides, I didn't ask you to stand up speaking. Now, you know what I asked this man to do? Come up here and tell me what spirit was that in those Ephesians in Acts 19 that made them talk in tongues.
You say they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Come up here and tell us right now. Your face is red. I know it's not that cold. Oh, God, have mercy. I don't know why I go on with the debate when a man can't even come up here and answer that question. Isn't that sad? Really, isn't that pathetic? There's a group of people there, those Ephesians in Acts 19, 1 through 5, that received the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues. And he says they had the Spirit, and he even admitted they spoke in tongues. And he won't even tell us what Spirit that was because he said it's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The first man I ever heard of that has Spirit-filled people speaking in tongues after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, he's something. You're very strange. You really are. Are you all right? You feel all right? You're not sick, are you? You're not ill or anything? You ever had a heart problem with you? You got hardening of the arteries, I know that. Something about getting to his head, I can't seem to get through to him. Would you folks like me to just stop here and answer? I don't know if I can go on and talk about a lot of things, but I really would like you to tell us what spirit was that in those Ephesians. If you don't, you're going to lose this debate. Tonight! What spirit was that in the Ephesians in Acts 19, too, that made them talk in tongues?
Come on.
Yeah, I'm coming on. He just won't. Yes, sir. You know you're in a trap. You know you can't answer that, Carol, sir. You ought to be ashamed of preaching what you're preaching. Those people out there see that. All you Church Christ people, you come here and ask me tonight, was that the baptism of the Holy Ghost made them talk in tongues? What was that? He knows that it's a baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he has to deny that because he says it's for the Jews and the Gentiles, Acts 2 and 10, then it was done away with. He knows better than that. Paul said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, I guess I'll let you up. That's sad. Sad that you can't answer that. I mean, that's really, truly sad. Now, you talk about laying on that apostolic hands. I brought out this discussion now that this man said, the Apostle Paul, he admitted the Apostle Paul was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And yet Ananias laid his hands on Paul, and Ananias never was an apostle. So don't tell me the apostolic hands are the hands that make the transmission of the Spirit. We don't give the Holy Ghost to anybody. Jesus is the baptizer. John said he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Acts 19, 1 and 5. Don't forget that in your memory. Put it down there. Does anyone know why I didn't pick up a serpent and all? And I brought out in a very detailed manner about the fact that the serpent and the poison are venomous, dangerous, vicious things that are brought upon people accidentally. And the Apostle Paul was picking up sticks at Malta to build a fire, and a serpent fastened on him, and he threw it off. And it was a prediction in Mark 16 that that kind of miracle would take place. But you showed me one place in the Bible where a man willfully took up a snake to prove he had the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to prove one thing to Mr. Sutton that I have. I've found that the Scriptures teach. I'm not Sid Marvin Hicks can pick up a snake. I'm not that stupid. I know better than that. I'm not going around trying to do things to prove I have the power of God. If you can't feel the difference in this debate, you ought to run to the altar and ask God to forgive you. Be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's God's way for you. Simon, Acts 8, he finally took him into the Church of Christ, didn't he, Mr. Sutton? Yes, sir. When he went down in that water, he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mr. Sutton, would you look this way and just nod? Did Simon have the gift of the Holy Ghost when he come up out of the water? And he's a member then of the church he belonged to. Is that right? And you said because there was a little time there. How long did they wait? Do you know? Does the Bible say? No, it doesn't say. You know it doesn't. You added that, didn't you? You know what the Bible says will happen to folks that add to the Scriptures and take from? Their name will be taken out of the Book of Life. And you ought to know that. James 1st chapter, I submitted to you, and you know, Carol, from you certainly enough to know that the only Scripture available in the day that James wrote, James the 1st chapter, was the Old Testament. And you know that. You know that's the only Scripture available. And I brought out a verse in Psalms where it was called the perfect law that they had in that day, and the only one they had available because there was no New Testament. Can you imagine James telling the Christians, continue in, look into a New Testament that was not even there yet? You tell me it was there? You know that. That's theological rubbish, you know. All right? Did Jesus have the measure of the Holy Spirit? Because he did not speak in tongues. Now, folks, I've been in a lot of debates, but I've never heard any question like that about Jesus not having the full baptism. Hicks has more spirit than Jesus because I've spoken in tongues and Jesus did. I still can't get through your head. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with you, man? Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Are you telling me Jesus Christ was saved at the river of Jordan? Are you telling me he didn't have a spirit until a bird came down and feathers on it? You understand that? That which is in Mary is conceived of the Holy Ghost. The Son of God was begotten of the Holy Ghost. He never was filled with the Holy Ghost. He had it from the time of his conception. He was filled with it from the time he was conceived because he was the Holy Ghost made flesh. I'll talk to you more about that on another time. All right? Now, my question, did he ever mess them up? Do you think that these are the last days, as the prophet Joel predicted in Joel 2:28 and mentioned by Peter in Acts 2:16? How much time? 50. All right, thank you. All right, part. He said part of the last days. Now, the reason why he couldn't say these are the last days, you know, here's a man that has been begging up here. Mister, give us a yes or no. Please give us a yes or no. He even picked up my little crochet. Shade. Pretty, please give us a yes or no. Now, Mr. Sutton, why did you say yes? Are these the last days or not? See, the last days we're talking about is a dispensation that began on the day of Pentecost and will continue to the rapture. And the closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, the bigger and greater the revival is going to be that's going to spread around the world. And men like you can lift up your hands, make fun of it all you want to, and receive the Holy Ghost. You know, he reminds me of the atheist that plays in the dark. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the light would shine upon his heart and he would receive the wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why, there's enough power of God in this auditorium right now to fill everyone in here tonight. But you will never receive that spirit if you do not open your heart to it. Now, you know why you wouldn't say these are the last days. Because in the last days, they have God, I'll pour my spirit upon my handmaiden, told you one time. Your sons and daughters to prophesy, Acts 2:17. Why didn't you comment on that? And you have avoided 90% of the things I've taught. You walked right around them, jumped over them, went under them, ran around. I tell you, your forgetter's working good. It really is. I asked him, is there anything later than the last days? He couldn't answer that. Number two, do you teach that all who were baptized with the Holy Spirit in Bible days spoke in other tongues? He said yes. Everybody that was baptized with the Holy Spirit spoke in other tongues. But not all of them spake in tongues were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And yet he'll tell you that it takes the Holy Spirit baptism in order to have miraculous manifestations. Hey, we look at these and speak in Japanese or something. You fellas are really great over there talking to each other. You don't think I can hear you, but I know what you're saying. Y'all get sick. Number three, and as much as you teach that a person receives the gift of the Holy Spirit at water baptism, and he does, how do you explain the sign of belief, Acts 8:13? And was baptized in water, Acts 8:13, and did not have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, he says, I go. He believes that Simon went down in the water. While he was in the water, he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Mr. Sutton, you believe that when you went down in the water, you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you that ashamed of it that you won't admit that? Are you that much ashamed of that? But you will not admit that before you. When you went down in the water, you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that true? I don't believe it, but I'm asking you, is that true? Did you, Mr. Hutto, receive the Holy Ghost and you down in the water? Well, I'm in a perfect stone face in my life. You almost hate me up here. I don't hate you, I love you. But I'm sorry that you're all mixed up doctrinally. It's a sad thing when a person is ashamed of his experience with God. Well, if I received the Holy Ghost when I went out in the water, And came up out, and that was my doctrine. I didn't admit it. I was nodding my head yes. I believe that the unmitigated gall stand up and answer. I answered you a while ago. I sure did. Number four, did you teach last night that a promise made by Christ or any of his disciples is invalid unless received by all to whom the promise was made? Well, I brought out from this discussion this proposition, whosoever can be saved, the promise of God is to all. In fact, Acts 2:39 says, for the promise is unto you and all your children and all who are her own, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Make for certain that you feel like God calls you. Then the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to you. Then please, number five, explain why the elders in your Church of Christ pray for the sick, as part of James 5:14, then refuse to not at all. And if I had just thought you would take this position tonight, I would have presented you with a bottle of oil so you could restart. You know, he makes fun of me for believing that people in the Mormon church can repent and be baptized with the Holy Spirit to be led into other parts of the truth of the gospel. Hey, you got to start somewhere. Why don't you start with repenting right now? And then we'll get you some oil, won't we? Won't we get him some oil? We'll buy you a whole jug of it. I guarantee you we'll get you some oil. And that's what the Bible says. And you have no right to pray for the sick unless you anoint them with oil. That's not Marvin Hicks' word. I'm giving you what the Bible has to say about it. You can laugh over there all you want to, but you know it's still the wonderful truth of God's word. Let me tell you what Carol Sutton's suppositions have done in this debate so far. And Thursday and Friday will be another two nights of classic discussion. Number one, he's taught that tongues attend those two instances of spirit baptism, Acts 2 and Acts 10. But then turn right around and deny that tongues attended the Spirit's coming in Acts 19. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that is an untenable and a self-contradictory testimony. I deny it. I challenge you on it. I don't believe a word of it. Acts 19, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost because they spake in tongues. And if they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost that made them speak in tongues, I beg you for two nights to tell us what spirit was that in them that did make them speak in tongues. Don't tell me it's some language they learned. Number two, he has admitted we live now in the last days, or part of them, he said. Then he denied Joel. He denies the Apostle Peter. And he denies God himself, who said in the last days, saith God, will I pour out my Spirit. And it goes on to say, there shall be prophecies, and upon my handmaidens also. Well, oh, you ladies can't receive the Holy Spirit because you have to be quiet in church. And I'd like to be in your church Sunday morning and hear them quietly singing. I really would. Or when they sing without making any noise, that'll be another day. That'll be another day. What you need to do is bring a banjo in there and get something going. If you did, they challenge me to prove that I have Holy Spirit baptism by doing some sign. I won't tell him just exactly what Jesus told the devil when the devil wanted Jesus to jump off the mountain and prove it was the Son of God. I'm just saying, get the hints behind me, Satan. I have too much to do to worry about trying to prove what I have. If I can't prove it by the Bible, which I've done in this debate so far, and will continue to do it. And you know I'm giving you the Word of God. I have no obligation to prove you I have anything personally. The Scriptures teach. That's what your proposition says. We signed it, what, 10 years ago? Way back there. The Scriptures teach. All right? Then he's telling me to perform a miracle, and yet we're discussing the fact that the Scriptures teach. Let's look at another one of his inconsistencies and suppositions. Mr. Sutton has denied that filled with the Spirit and baptized with the Spirit are identical after Pentecost. Yet, what he admits is that Spirit baptism in Acts 2:4 is called